Hello and welcome to Sticky Wickets. For the first time, me and Toby have an England game to review. But first, how are you, Toby?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. So last night, I think me and Toby were enjoying the University Hall's Christmas dinner whilst England chased down 179 with 5 wickets to spare and 4 balls remaining. South Africa never really got going, with Faf du Plessis being the top scorer with 58, but no one else could really stick around with him. England tottered in the early parts of the power play, losing 3 wickets from Lind and Ngidi, but then a super ginger entered the fray, 86 off 48 from Johnny Bairstow with 9 fours and 4 sixes. What a performance, leading England to victory. Toby, what are your thoughts on yesterday's game?
It was a good game. I think England played okay. I think we definitely can and have played better, but I think South Africa will be thinking the same thing, really. And I think it'll be a good contest now with there's 2 more T20s and the 3 ODIs after. So it's good to get the first win in there, and hopefully we can keep going and push on from there. What about you, Dom? How did you think England performed?
It did look like England hadn't played a T20 for 3 or 4 months. Let's not pretend. And we did need one man to dig us out of a hole, which is a bit worrying. You never want to see someone have to dig you out of a hole. But I think Johnny Bairstow played fantastically. I think he's been to a lot of franchise cricket this year, and he really stood out. Toby, Johnny Bairstow, like we said, had a bit of a interesting history with England. Do you think he's putting a big note into the selector's office saying, pick me for the World Cup with that performance?
Yeah, I think a lot of the commentators are sort of saying, oh, Johnny Bairstow's a man likely to miss out if you want to get sort of Ali and Curran and some of the other guys down the order in. But I was always a bit confused by that, because he's such a good player, and he always proves himself when he's on the line and when everyone's putting him down. So I think it was good for him to show, and I think it's both a blessing and possibly a bit of a curse that he's now scored runs at number 4, because I think if Rory starts to struggle, they'll be thinking, oh, do we risk moving Bairstow back up the order, or do we bring in someone like Banton or Livingston, who they know have opened and will be opening in the Big Bash, really. But I think it's good for him to get runs, and the rest of the guys, I think most of the guys who sort of did well were all the guys in the IPL, so Bairstow and Stokes on our batting and Curran a little bit at the end. And for them, you had Rabada bowl quite well, as did Ngidi, who both were playing. And Du Plessis, obviously, top scorer for them after playing for Chennai.
Yeah, I think the problems you suggested there for England, they're not bad problems to have, if we're honest. If we look, on our last episode, we were live and we talked a lot about the history of English sort of T20 cricket, as it would have been the World Cup a few weeks ago, but obviously Corona. And we noticed there was a few times where you got looking at the squads when we were doing both our research, and we went, how was he in there? And Toby's eloquently put that there's so many good options here that it's quite hard for the selectors to choose, oh, but Bairstow, but what about him? But what about him? And it's not a case of finding the players now. It's about moulding the correct high standard of quality players, which is something that's really positive. And if you're looking to next year, there's a lot to be said. Well, the only problem England have now is not their selection policy. It is can they find that 11 that I can consistently win, have a good team atmosphere and score runs and take wickets at a high level. But I think it's positive signs for England. Like you said, as Toby said, 2 more games to come. And yeah, I think there's a few ODIs, isn't there?
Three ODIs, yeah.
So
it's quite interesting to see. I don't know if you saw the warm-up games they had, the 2 squads for that. They were both phenomenal sides. And I mean, I think all of them had played for England or are definitely going to play for England who were there, and quite a few going off to the Big Bash and then probably to the IPL or something before next winter's T20 World Cup.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the Big Bash, because early this morning, whilst me and Toby were nursing hangovers, the Sydney Thunder women won the Women's Big Bash. Big ups to them. Congratulations, with 2 English girls in their squad. So the Thunder bowling attack choked the Melbourne Stars 86 for 9 of 20 overs. So that's no rain delay. That is phenomenal bowling from the Thunder. The Thunder batsmen chased it down after canter, really. England were well represented in that final with Heather Knight, Tammy Beaumont beating their English compatriots, Catherine Runt and Nat Skiver. Just a positive set of days out for England women, really, apart from Catherine Runt and Nat Skiver. Thunder just played fantastically, it must be said. Toby, did you get a chance to have a look at the highlights of this?
I haven't, unfortunately. I'm just looking at the scorecard now, and I think the sort of the English girls all did quite well, it looks like. Heather Knight, again, top scoring for Sydney Thunder and sort of just being her usual unbelievable self. And I think Catherine Brunt sort of coming into a bit of form by the end. It looks like 22 runs she top scored for the Melbourne Stars. So I think it's great that the Big Bash has been so good for the women again. And they're getting women from all over, which is great to see. A few sort of South Africans in there. I think there's probably a few of the West Indians. Stefani Taylor, I think, might have been playing. So, yeah, it's great to see, really.
It's really a global league, the Women's Big Bash. I think it's probably the front runner when it comes to women's sport, women's cricket, really, from diversity and of nationality and, obviously, people. It is just a great league to watch, and that's a fantastic 89 runs in 20 overs. There are going to be some nice bowling figures to look at. So, well done to Sydney Thunder. So, just going back to the England game here, we sort of got distracted by the Women's Big Bash. South Africa didn't take the knee yesterday before the game. I think we saw there's three internationals. Pretty much everyone took the knee bar South Africa, which is quite interesting. But just to clear it up, because there's some people, I've heard some things about people saying it is a board meeting. No, to be honest, it's about they wore armbands to commemorate COVID virus victims and gender-based violence that have been happening in South Africa. The Proteas have said they viewed the issue of racism seriously, but there are more pressing matters, so they are protesting them. Hopefully that explains it. But unfortunately, we're still going to have to talk about racism, as there has been a bit of controversy in the English game with two former umpires, John Holder and Ismail Darwood, as well as Michael Carberry, saying the English game is racist. However, Moeen Ali has come back out and said there is no racism in the English game, or he hasn't experienced any in the last few months. So, Toby, it's quite sad to talk about, but do you think there's a problem with the English game and racism?
I'm not really sure. Obviously, neither of us are really in the setup at all. So it's probably quite hard for us to really gauge what's happening over there. I think if Moeen Ali's coming out and saying he's not felt it, then it's not for him. But yeah, again, it's really hard, and it always keeps coming up, this racism problem. So obviously there must be something, but it's whether how deep it goes, and if it's just a few isolated cases, or it really is within the deep roots of the game, which would be such a shame if it was.
What is noticeable compared to other sports is that cricket talks about its problems a lot better than other sports. I think no one's really pointing a finger here. They're trying to have a discussion about it, and Moeen Ali he's bravely come out and said, look, I haven't experienced this, which fair play to him, because I think a lot of people might have held back and said, oh, I'm not sure. But no, he's stood out there and he's having an honest discussion. I think that's really important in all sports, really, that you talk about it. You don't have an argument. You just talk about it. And if these two umpires have experienced racism, then it needs to be sorted out. And they've bravely come forward and talked about it. But I think on the ground level, talking about cricket, we have both experienced. I don't think I've ever been at a game or played in a game where there's been racism that I've noticed. There could have been, and I might not have seen it. But I genuinely think in club cricket especially, there is a lovely sort of friendship between teams. Yes, it gets heated. Yes, there's sportsmanship. But there's never that sort of vitriol that you might get in other contact sports, maybe. And Toby, do you think cricket, it could, whilst we're hearing about racism, but do you think it's a friendly game to play when you're growing up?
I think it is, yeah. I think particularly between teams, it's a lot more friendly than other sports that I played. I mean, there are times when you play rugby and by the end of it, you're almost having a massive brawl between the two teams and just over a sort of under 13 B team competition or something. Whereas it's cricket, it's always so great. And I think particularly as you get older and you sort of start playing with in the sort of village sides and the adult sides more, there's always a bit of laugh and a bit of fun around it. You chat to the umpires, you talk to the opposition, etc. like that. And I think it is great sport in that way, because you don't have to sort of run around and try and hit each other as hard as you can like in other sports or put in some big challenges. It's just about the contest between the batsman and the bowler and the fielders. So I think it is great in that respect.
Yeah, I really miss playing cricket at a friendly level where there is competition. Don't get me wrong, but there's a fun level of just banter between your captain and you, and just you take your job seriously, and in your mind you're Ben Stokes playing in front of 28,000 at Lord's, but in reality you're in front of a man and a dog. But it really is, it's something you do, like, I think it's quite hard to be angry for the period of time some cricket matches can go on for, so I think that's probably why you've got to be pleasant. But yeah, it's not nice news to have to talk about, but let's get back to some real cricket here. So Australia played India early morning on the Friday. Australia batted very well, which is a bit worrying, going to be honest, with 69 from Warner, 114 from Aaron Finch, and 105 from that man again, Steve Smith, setting an incredible 374, which is a really good score if you're new to cricket on ODI. So Hazelwood opened up the bowling, ripped through the top order, getting Virat Kohli for 21. Now, if you are new to the game and you don't know who Virat Kohli is, he's pretty much the David Beckham of India at the moment. Everyone loves him. He's a Bollywood star. He's had a bit of media problems. He's been sort of lambasted by the Indian media for taking paternity leave, but that's a different culture, I suppose. But he not in the best of form. India did have a fight back with Shikhar Dhawan, getting 74, and Pandya getting 90. But Adam Zampa kept India under wraps with great figures of 10 overs for 54 runs and 4 wickets, leading Australia to a 66-run win. Toby, thoughts on yesterday's Aussie-India game?
Yeah, it was good. I think, obviously, there was a lot of cricket on that day. Obviously, we were playing in the evening with this in the morning. I think there was New Zealand, West Indies as well. And yeah, it was great to see. I mean, Steve Smith just proving once again how class a player he is. Scored a 62-ball 100 or something. Just mental. When you don't think of him as one of those guys who hits the ball out of the park, as you might say, was someone like Glenn Maxwell, who was down the order and scored unbelievable 45 off 19 as well to back him up. I think other than Stoinis and Labuschagne, everyone in the Aussie side really pulled through. I know that Zampa, yet again, unbelievable figures and bowling well as he often does now, really sort of coming into his own. Mitch Stark as well, obviously just great player. Didn't necessarily quite have the figures that someone like Hazelwood had, but they're both just class players. And I think Australia, just a bit like us, have just a wealth of players that they can call upon if they need to. What do you think, Dom? Who did this surprise you, this win, or were you expecting it a bit?
I was a bit disappointed with India, to be honest. I thought they'd be a bit better, but I think you've got to hand it to Australia. They played very well. And they were just the better side. And sometimes it happens. And maybe the margin of victory highlights that quite a lot. 66 runs is quite a lot of gap between standards. But I think Zampa performed fantastically. He really did cover those middle overs, which are really important to do in cricket. England missing out Liam Plunkett. And if Zampa can stay at that level, Australia could be a really dangerous side if they've got someone like Stark and Hazelwood opening up and finishing off. And then in those middle orders, it's quite hard for any team to get runs against that high bowling attack. But yeah, we also need to talk about those India retro kits. They were fantastic. They were great. What did you think, Toby?
Yeah, it was great to see. I mean, obviously England had the 92 lookalikes over the summer and still wearing them. And yeah, they were just great kits, really, to see.
I love my kits, and that kit was a very nice kit to look at. So let's talk about local news. Knots have been busy extending the contracts of the following: Ben Duckett, Sumit Patel, Chappell, Dan Carter, and Harry Gurney. These players have been very integral in the Knots success of recent times. Ben Duckett, he's on the cusp of being on England. Sumit Patel is always there as a sort of linchpin, a man of moments. He's a real important player to Notts. He's a real figure of, well, he is a big figure of Notts' success. Chappell and Carter are great bowlers. They're not marquee bowlers. You're not going to put their names up in shining lights, but they do what Adam Zampa does very well in control the middle overs and take wickets. So they're also important. Harry Gurney, the man who owns two pubs with Stuart Broad in the local area. So if you're in Nottingham, go try and find those pubs. They're good, nice pubs. But yeah, Harry Gurney, again, good leadership role. And yeah, I think they're really good signings. Toby, do you have anything to say on those players?
I mean, yeah, it's just obviously it's nice to see Notts continuing their team after winning the Blast this year. They've obviously got a wealth of players, a depth of players that you guys need to just keep going for as long as you can and try and push forwards. And I think one thing that could be quite good for them, a lot of them are on the cusp, but with the sort of the side that's quite settled for England now, they quite possibly could just be playing and staying in Notts. Whereas you look at other teams, Yorkshire always have this problem. They have almost too many players playing for England, so they haven't quite necessarily got the squad that just stick together, whereas Notts can really, really push on, and as they all stay together, it'll be good.
Yeah. Right, Toby, I think it's time for a game. So we have got, and this isn't the best name, but I think you'll like this game. This is Ryan's side bottom of the order. Now, I've chosen Ryan's side bottom as the figurehead of this game because he was in the news recently as he was able to marry on March the 23rd of March. And that meant he could have a full wedding reception. I'm not sure why that popped up in my timeline of news, but it did. So, yeah, here we go. So this game is celebrating number 11s in the batting order. I will give Toby a tail-ender order from a famous match, so they will be revealed. And so, first of all, I'm going to start you with the name of the team and the game. And you, if you can get the number 11 from that, you get 5 points. Then I'll name the number 8. You get 3 points. The number 9, 2 points. And then at the very last, you get 10 points. 1 point for the number 10. And Toby, you've got 6 of these. You've got to score 17. Okay?
Sounds good. So
an example would be, okay, Toby, this is just an example. England versus New Zealand in the Cricket World Cup final. Who was England's number 11?
Was it Mark Wood?
It was Mark Wood. So that would be 5 points, okay? So, Toby, are you ready?
I am ready, yes.
Right, here we go. So, Ashes 2009 Oval Test match, first innings for England.
Monty Panesar.
No runs.
Okay.
Number 8, Stuart Broad.
Okay, so now I go for the number 9,
got,
do I?
No, you still got to
Okay. I go Jimmy Anderson.
No points. So the number 9 is Graham Swan.
Graham Swan, okay. I'm going to go... Is it Ryan Sidebottom?
Unfortunately not. No. Number 10 for one run, Jimmy Anderson.
Who's going to be lower than Jimmy Anderson? That's a,
I did not associate this player with the 2009 Ashes. Is it
Graham Onions?
It is not. It was Steve Harmison.
Oh, wow.
That was his last test match. So 0 runs off the first ball there.
Good start.
So, yep, could have been worse. I'm not sure it could have. So off a recent one. So Surrey versus the Nottinghamshire Outlaws in the Vitality Blast T20 final from 2020. So who was the number 11 for Surrey that day?
Was it... Dan, no, I think he's number 10. Number 11. I don't think Verdi was playing. I'm going to go with... I'll go with Dan Moriarty. I think that could be... I think he might be number 10.
Oh, number 8 is Liam Plunkett for 3 runs. It's not Moriarty. So, give you number 8 for 3 runs. Who is... And that was Liam Plunkett. What's the number 11, though?
Number 11. I'm going to go with... Okay, it's going to be a tall, fast bowler. I'm going to get...
I think this man's had a foray with England. I'll just check that up now. But you'll kick yourself when... Yep, he's had a few games for England. He's made his debut against Ireland on 1st of August 2020.
This year. Oh, okay.
Number 11.
I definitely should know this. This is bad.
Let's not forget, Notts won that game.
I think that's why I'm struggling to remember. I tried to wipe it from my mind. Oh, this is not going well. I'm going to go with...
I'm going to have to press you for time here.
Yeah, I'm going to guess. I know it's not him, but Conor McCurr.
It's not Conor McCurr. So we go down to number 9. 2 points still available to score if you can get this number 11. And the number 9 was Gareth Batty.
Thought it might have been. So, number 11. I'm going to kick myself. This is going badly.
I wouldn't have got this, but...
I should do that. They are my team.
Yeah, well... His last ODI was against Ireland on the 20th in August. Sorry, not his debut. His debut came against Australia in 2015. He's had quite the look, it's fair to say, this summer. Quite the look. If any NFL fans know what Gardner Minshew looks like, that's what this number 11 looks like. That's the best way to describe him. He never really stayed with England, but I think he's been at a few big counties.
Okay.
Hope you get it.
Who's in the England? Oh, is it Rhys Topley?
Correct, it's Rhys Topley. So you're on 2 runs, 15 required. Okay, so we're going to go to the last test match of the summer. England versus Pakistan. I want to know the England number 11, the third test match.
I'm going to go with the third test match. Jimmy Anderson.
Jimmy Anderson's correct. 5 okay. runs. So you've got 7. You need 7. You're trying to chase down 17. You've got 3 balls left, 10 off the last 3. It's very doable. And we're going to go back to 2005. Now, we're going to go to the local ground, Trent Bridge, versus England versus Australia. The first innings for England. Can you name
it? I'm going to go with Jones.
You've got 2 in a row. Oh. It's now up to 12. That's gone for 5, that has. Wow. The bowler's on the back foot. So you need to get 5 in the next 2. Okay, I'm looking at my options here, and I've chosen 2 quite obvious ones. So this is going to be interesting. Right, England versus Australia, the third ODI this year. Who was England's number 11?
The third ODI this year. I'm going to go with Adil Rashid.
I'm afraid it's not Adil Rashid, so I'm going to give you a number 8, so you can only get 3 points here, was Tom Curran.
Tom Curran, okay. The third one, third ODI, so I think we lost that one.
We did lose that.
Mark Wood.
Mark Wood is correct. So, 15 is now the score. So, it's the last ball, and I've changed it up here, and I've gone for a nice niche one. So, this game broke my heart as a kid, and it starts to show England weren't that good. And it's the Champions Trophy final of 2013 versus India. I need to know the England number 11. Now, you can go all the way up to number 9 and still win this. But if you get to number 10, you are going to tie the game. And if you don't get that, well, I win.
Oh, okay.
So Champions Trophy final 2013, the England number 11, please, Toby.
England number 11. So I'll say Jimmy Anderson's a possible option, but I don't think it is him. Brodie's probably would be playing, but I reckon it's probably the number 8 or 9. I think it could be who spinners it might be, maybe. But I think Swan, if he was playing, would be a bit higher than that. I'm going to go with Chris Tremlett.
Chris Tremlett is not in the squad, so that's 5 points gone. So still got 2 more cracks at it. And this game was held at Edgbaston, and the number 8 for England was Tim Bresnan. one of my favourite cricketers of all time. Just such a fun all-rounder to watch. But who was number 11 that day? Think back, England in those all-red kits. All-red kits. And quite a rainy day, I seem to remember. And then England won the Ashes 3-0. This player was a big part of that.
Is it Jimmy Anderson then? I'm going to have to go with them, just in case. Rule him out.
Now, you said Jimmy Anderson at the start and how it couldn't have been him. So at number 8, you said, so that'd be 3 points and that would get you over the target. And I'm afraid you're correct.
Oh, Jimmy, yes.
Was the number 11 and you have scored 17. What a comeback after a duck in the first ball. And you've come back fantastically. And well, how does that feel knowing your tail enders so well?
It's good, you know, obviously the podcast helping me through.
Yeah, so that was Ryan's side, bottom of the order. We're trying to come up with different games each week. So in the past, we've had higher or mower, personal
great
favorite.
One. That was a podcast.
Now, Ryan's side, bottom. So go back and listen to those in URN speech or on our Spotify playlist. Follow us at StickyWicket_URN. Toby, what have you got planned for today?
Probably recovering. Probably lying in bed a bit. Let's see how we go.
I love how the England players will be recovering from an international game and will be recovering from alcohol. I think that shows the standard of a sort of our cricketing abilities, doesn't it? But
definitely.
Not to worry, we are going to be giving this podcast throughout Christmas and the festive period, following England's trip into Africa, following the West Indies in New Zealand, and the Australians playing India. Toby, thank you for being on.
Cheers. Go well, mate.
Well, and have a very Merry Christmas.